series tonight called Good Grief. It's based on the book of Lamentations, and it's about loss and learning to grieve with hope. And tonight's message is titled The Gift of Tears. I want to encourage you to come out for every message and invite anybody you know that is grieving, that has suffered loss, to join in with us either in person or online so that they can be ministered to and encouraged through the Word of God. I read the story of a couple named Lyle and Sue, who had just enjoyed celebrating Christmas with their son, John, who had returned from combat and had enrolled in a local college. And they were looking forward to this new chapter in their son's life and all that it would bring. He had just finished setting up his room with new furniture and was going out with friends. But before he left, he came up from behind his mother, hugged her as she was working in the kitchen, and said, "I love you, Mom." And without even turning around, she just said, "Ditto, John, I love you too." She had no idea that that would be the last time that she would see her son. In just a few hours, a police officer would be knocking at her door to inform her that her son had been in an accident and that she needed to go to the hospital as soon as possible. At the hospital, she met her husband and they received the dreaded news. The car her son had been in was involved in a head-on collision, and the three students in the car had been killed. Sue went into shock, and for the next several weeks, she said she walked around in a stupor. She couldn't remember anything except what others later on told her about those weeks. She called this a holy amnesia, which she considered to be a gift from God. She was so out of it that her husband got concerned and even took her for counseling. But it was only after she attended a memorial service several weeks later for her son and had the opportunity to speak about her son, about his spiritual journey and his life, that things began to change. For 2 weeks, she felt as though she had been asleep. But after the memorial service, she said it as if she woke up to the reality of her son's death, and the pain was awful. For 2 weeks, she couldn't cry, but once she started to cry, she couldn't stop crying. If you've ever lost someone dear to you, then this mother's grief probably resonates with you. Now, I know grief is not a subject that we're comfortable with. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it, but it is a reality of life, and we all suffer loss on many different levels, and we go through grief, not just in the death of a loved one, but we can lose other things as well, which we'll touch on in a moment. But the loss of a loved one, of course, is the most shocking and deeply emotional. But we also experience the grief of loss when we move away from loved ones, or we lose a job, or we lose our health, or even when you retire. There is a grief over the loss of a sense of purpose and the connections that you had at your job. However, because we live in a culture that is uncomfortable with grief, we try to avoid the reality of death and the reality of loss, and we tend to encourage people to get over their grief quickly. You know, just get over it. So we often don't know how to grieve in a healthy way. But good grief is a powerful and essential process of healing. In fact, God dedicates an entire book in the Bible to the subject of grief. You know, Lamentations is an often neglected book of the Bible that we really rarely read or hear preached on, but its message is so very relevant. One Christian writer states, "God has given us an entire book of the Bible that shows us how to navigate the valley of grief, sorrow, and loss." The book of Lamentations is really a gift from God for all who grieve. Its message of pain, sorrow, comfort, and hope speaks powerfully and ministers deeply to all who have suffered loss. Like this mother who, after the memorial service, could not stop crying for weeks, the people of God in the book of Lamentations had suffered terrible loss, and they couldn't stop crying either. What had happened? Their enemies, the Babylonians, had invaded their land, laid siege to Jerusalem, stopped any supplies from entering the city to starve the people into surrender. I mean, you can even just picture what was happening as you're picturing the siege that is being laid on the cities in the Ukraine right now. You can picture what these people had gone through. And finally, the city fell. The enemy breached the walls of Jerusalem, invaded the city. The people found themselves under the power of a brutal oppressor who raped some of the women, enslaved many of the people, and then destroyed the temple, the place where they worshiped God, and the place where his presence would come down and would be made manifest to his people. The people also suffered a devastating loss of loved ones in the battle. They suffered the loss of their homes, their businesses, and their freedom. They also lost their hope for the future as they were carried into exile. And perhaps for some of them, they even lost their faith, wondering, where is God in all of this? You know, sometimes those are the questions we have when we go through loss. This is a book of lament, and the word lament means to cry out loud. A lament is a loud cry to God. And if you read through this book, it's actually made up of five laments. So the Book of Lamentations is a long, loud, and agonizing cry to God from a people who had experienced unfathomable loss. The prophet Jeremiah, who also experienced this extremely tragic time, wrote the Book of Lamentations to help the Jewish people process the terrible tragedy they were going through and find hope in the midst of it all, knowing that God was still there for them. The key passage that most clearly expresses the depth of their grief and the theme of this book is perhaps the most well-known section of Lamentations. Read with me, if you will, Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 19 through 22, but then we're also going to look at some other passages. Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 22. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. These words are being written out of a heart that is experiencing deep loss. And you can picture Jeremiah as he looks out at the once glorious city of Jerusalem, its streets now filled with smoldering rubble, homes destroyed, people crying, people huddling together in disbelief, people that just don't know what to do or where to go, feeling like there's no way for them to pick up the pieces of their life and carry on. Yet in the midst of all of this sorrow and pain, Jeremiah says, we can still have hope when we look to God and remember his mercy, his love, and his faithfulness. You know, as people of God, we sorrow. We sorrow when we experience loss. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a home, the loss of a job, the loss of friends, whatever it is. We sorrow. We grieve. But we have hope. We sorrow with hope, and that makes all the difference. But that doesn't mean that we don't suffer the pain of loss. We feel the pain of loss, but in the midst of that pain, we still have hope. And Jeremiah doesn't shy away from the deep emotion of loss. His first song of lament begins with tears. Turn with me, if you will, to Lamentations 1, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. He says, Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she's now a slave. She sobs through the night. tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. And he describes the deep emotional pain, a pain too deep for words that can only be expressed in tears. And he describes how in our grief, we often feel alone and isolated, as if no one else can understand. And as we journey through the book of Lamentations, I pray that it will help anyone who is currently grieving to find comfort in the Lord, and that it would teach all of us how to grieve with hope and how to help those who are grieving find hope in the midst of their sorrow, so that we can be people who bring healing and hope to a world that is filled with suffering. The first thing we need to learn is that it is okay to cry, and that applies to men and to women. Jeremiah himself was known as the weeping prophet. He was very comfortable with tears. And may we learn from Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations how to be comfortable with tears. See, Jeremiah teaches us tears are a gift from God for a grieving soul. Tears are essential to healthy grieving. One writer states that Lamentations is a book soaked in tears because tears are a repeated theme throughout the book. If you look at Lamentations 1:16, he says, "For all these things I weep, tears flow down my cheeks." And then chapter 2, verse 11, Jeremiah writes, "I have cried until the tears no longer come." Have you ever been there? That you just cried and cried till you cried yourself out, and you just couldn't cry anymore, even though you still felt the pain? That's what he's describing. In Lamentations 3:48, he says, "Tears stream from my eyes." Verse 49, "My tears flow endlessly. They will not stop." It's important to realize that the tears don't stop in chapter 1, but they continue throughout the entire book of Lamentations. Why? Because there is no time limit to grief. We have to understand that. I was speaking with a mother the other day whose son died, I think it's 4 or 5 years ago, and she's still grieving. And the anniversary of his death was coming up, and she still feels the pain of that loss. And you know what? My brother died when he was 17. That was over 30 years ago. And my mother still feels the pain of that loss. There is an emptiness inside that even though you move on with your life, there is nothing that can ever fill that empty place. So there is no time limit to our grief. Tears are one of the healthiest reactions to grief and loss. If you're grieving, allow yourself to cry. For all of us, we also need to learn how to be comfortable with tears, that when someone is grieving, we'll not try to stop them from crying. Because that's what we tend to do, right? We feel uncomfortable, so, you know, we kind of pat them on the back and we're like, "Oh, don't cry, everything is going to be okay." But you know what? Tears are essential to cleanse our soul from the pain of grief. And we need to learn how to be comfortable with someone who is grieving and the tears may be flowing, so that we can be present with them in their grief and give them the freedom to express the sorrow of their soul in tears. Tears cleanse our soul from the pain of sorrow. I love what one writer said. He said, "Crying is our first language. We were born into this world crying. Then we learned how to talk. As we grow up," he said, "we use words to tell others that we are in trouble, but we still cry when we're unable to find the right words." He said, "Tears enable us to get in touch with and express our deepest feelings. But there are two kinds of cries: the cry that relieves, lightens, and strengthens, and the cry that makes us more exhausted." He said, "Crying can be a form of prayer. We resort to it when we can no longer express our sorrow in words. When we cry to God, this is the cry that relieves and strengthens. So I'm not just talking about, you know, crying and wallowing in sorrow, but bringing our tears to God, bringing our cries to God. I love an old song that says, tears are a language that God understands. And in one of the verses it says, often you wonder why tears come into your eyes, and burdens seem to be much more than you can stand. But God is standing near. He sees your falling tears. Tears are a language that God understands. Aren't you grateful for that? I mean, sometimes the pain is so deep you can't put it into words, but you just get in God's presence and you start crying, and He wraps the arm of His presence around you, and you know He understands what you're going through. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever experienced that? Amen. Praise the Lord. A young minister shared how he came across a letter in his grandmother's things written from his father to his mother when he was just 5 months old, and his father had not yet been able to meet his baby boy because he was away in the military and he was serving in a very dangerous country. In the letter, his father poured out his heart to the woman he loved and the family he missed. When he showed the letter to his mother more than two decades later, she began to cry as she remembered that time in their life and how difficult it was to have her husband, whom she loved, away in a dangerous country fighting a battle, not knowing if he would live. And she pointed out the tear stains on the letter. Some of them were hers, and some of them were her husband's. And at that time in their life, she said, tears spoke more than words could ever say. And you know, tears often speak more than words could ever say, especially in the presence of God. The small droplets of water that fall from our eyes express more about what our heart feels than words could ever say. And God understands our tears. God understood the tears and burden of His enslaved people in Egypt. And they cried unto the Lord, and He came down and delivered them. He understood the tears of a prophet's widow who was destitute and had no money to pay her bills, and they were coming to take her sons to sell them into slavery. He understood her tears, and He provided oil in empty vessels to meet her need. In the Gospels, several parents came to Jesus with tears, and He healed their children, and He cast out demons. Psalm 56:8 says, "You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Do you know that God sees every tear that you cry? And your tears are precious to Him. He collects them in His bottle, and He keeps record of everything that has caused your tears. And the beautiful thing is, we never cry alone. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Isn't it wonderful to know that you never cry alone? God is nearest to us in our pain, and the tears that we cry unto God are a gift from God that heals and restores our broken heart. Jeremiah encourages us in Lamentations 2:18 and 19. He says, "Cry aloud before the Lord." Not just cry aloud, but cry aloud before the Lord. "Let your tears flow like a river. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord." So when you're grieving, let the tears come. Don't hold back. Allow them to flow, and keep your eyes on the Lord through your tears, because He is right there with you. And Jesus promised, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Something else I want us to see is that tears are not a sign of weakness. they're a sign that you are human. God created us with the capacity to cry. I read an article that stated humans are the only mammals known to produce tears as a part of an emotional response. The only mammal that produces tears as a part of an emotional response. Shedding tears as a means of expressing emotion is uniquely human. And in an article titled The Gift of Tears, the author writes, "We were created by God with the ability and urge to cry when our emotions move us. So shedding tears," he says, "must be an important part of being human. A person composed of a body, soul, and spirit made in the image and likeness of God." You know, even Jesus cried, right? In his humanity, he cried. Tears are like the valve on a pressure cooker. When the pressure builds up too much in that pressure cooker, it needs to be released or the pressure cooker will explode. Am I right? And tears serve like that release valve when the emotions build up so intensely inside of us and need to be released. So we should never be embarrassed to cry. When the pressure of hurt or of fear builds up, God gave us the gift of tears so that we can release that pain in his presence. That's why Jeremiah repeatedly tells us, "Cry out loud to the Lord. Let the tears flow. Pour forth your heart unto the Lord." Do you know it takes strength to express our emotions rather than suppressing them? You know, the unfortunate thing is that we live in a culture that's uncomfortable with tears. We live in a culture where crying is looked down on as weakness, and people are made to feel ashamed when they cry. That's why if we watch a sad movie with friends or family and our eyes tear up, we try to contain our emotion and hide our tears, and we're kind of like, you know, we don't want anybody to see that we're crying. You never do that, right? Because, you know, people look down on tears. People make fun of those who cry at movies, right? But I have news for you. Claremont Graduate University conducted a study which revealed that those who cry during movies are more empathetic, they know how to handle their emotions better, and they are stronger when facing daily challenges. The research product said people who are not embarrassed to cry during movies, in fact, were more mentally tough than those who try to hide their tears. Wow. You're more mentally tough than those who try to hide their tears. And that's because, it said, they are brave enough to express their true feelings. So come on now, the next time you watch that sad movie, go ahead and cry. Amen. You know, the Bible records that great men and women of God, such as Joseph, Hannah, David, Ezra, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, John, even Jesus, all had times when they wept. These great men and women of God wept. So don't be afraid or embarrassed to cry. Of course, we're not talking about just wallowing in a woe is me, sorrow, pity party. But as people of faith, we're talking about crying out to God, weeping in God's presence, expressing the pain of our soul to him through the tears that flow from our eyes. But in the midst of that, we are keeping our eyes on God through our tears. Tears are a way of embracing the weakness of our humanity, and in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. So if you're sad, if you're heartbroken, if you're crushed in spirit, if you're overwhelmed, let the tears flow. Pour out your heart like water before the Lord. He sees and understands your tears, and he has promised to come near to you when you are brokenhearted, to comfort you, to strengthen you, and to heal you. Wendy Alec, author of Visions from Heaven, shared a powerful vision that she had during an intense trial in her life. And she writes, "The Father said, 'In your most intense suffering, although you were not aware, I never left your side.'" And she said, "The Father picked up In this vision, the most exquisitely cut glass canister filled to the brim with a liquid and said, "These are your tears that you shed during your time of intense trial." And then he picked up another much larger canister and said, "And these are the tears that I shed for you as I watched you suffering." And the father lifted the canister of his tears and poured them over her bleeding heart. And instantly, a great comfort, she said, washed over her soul. Suffering and loss is a part of living in a sin-fallen world. And there's coming a day when Jesus will return and he will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death, and there will be no more loss. I can't wait for that day. Amen. But until then, we can sorrow with hope, because we know that we can cry out to our loving Heavenly Father, who is merciful, he is faithful, he loves us, he understands our tears, and he has promised to be near to the brokenhearted, to comfort us and to heal our broken hearts. And for that reason, we sorrow with hope. And tonight, if you're sorrowing, I encourage you, cry in God's presence. Keep your eyes on him through your tears, because he loves you and he is near to all who are brokenhearted, and he will comfort you. And for all of us, let us ask God to help us bring comfort to the hurting around us and help them find hope and faith in God during their time of sorrow. Would you stand to your feet? If you're grieving, take that grief to the Lord right now. Let the tears flow if you want to. It doesn't matter. And if you're not grieving, let's ask God to just use us to bring comfort, to bring hope to those who are. Would you stand to your feet as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to let the tears flow when the pain of our heart becomes so great that we cannot even express it in words. Thank you, Lord, that we are welcome in your presence with our tears, and that you understand. You understand the language of tears. Father, I pray for every person right now that is grieving, Lord. Father, some even now at home, tears may be flowing down their eyes. I pray that you would make your presence manifest to them, that you would just surround them, Lord God, with your presence, that you would comfort their hearts, that you would strengthen them in their inner man. Father, I pray for all of us tonight, that you would help us to be comfortable with tears, not only our own tears, but the tears of others, so that we can be present with them in the time of their hurt, in the time of their sorrow, that we won't try to hurry them through their grief, but that we will walk with them through the journey of grief. Father, I pray that you would give us the wisdom and the anointing to be instruments of healing and comfort to all who grieve, and even to those who do not know you, so that we can help them find hope through faith in you during the time of their loss. Father, we pray this in the wonderful and mighty name of your Son, Jesus, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you all so much. Thank you for those that are here in person, for those that joined us online. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.